Welcome on back, BetMGM tonight, Westwood One Sports. He's Brett Evans, I'm Pat Boyle. Phone number to join the show is 310-840-4910. Again, that's 310-840-4910. The conference finals are here with two great matchups. Be part of the playoff action when you bet with Boosted Odds. Activate your Odds Boost token for any bet on the NBA playoffs, and you'll receive a bigger payout if your bet wins. Get ready for tip-off with BetMGM. All right, Brad, game two coming up tonight in just over 2 hours from now, 8:30 p.m. Eastern tip. I wish it was 8 o'clock, but I mean, you know, what are we going to do? These are two teams that I believe are one, if not two, time zones behind, right? What time is it? You grew up in San Antonio. What time is it in San Antonio right now? Hour behind, right?
Yeehaw, it is Central time, mi amigo.
Yeah, so they're an hour behind, and I'm guessing Oklahoma City is the same, if I'm correct. Not mistaken. Yep. All right, so that's correct. A 7:30 tip. We could have done an 8 o'clock and made it 7 o'clock, but I digress nonetheless. Basically the same line as in game one, Oklahoma City, 7.5-point favorites, despite losing game one outright. The Spurs are plus 200 again on the money line if you're feeling like San Antonio is going to take a 2-0 lead here in this series. The total has come down a couple of points. I believe it was 219.5 in game one. Remember, it went way over, but it took double OT. This was 101 all at the end of regulation. That was only 202 points, and so the total's come down a couple. It's 216.5 right now at our friends at BetMGM. Some big injury news to look out for before we get rolling here on our preview. Spurs starting point guard De'Aaron Fox, once again, questionable for game two with a sprained ankle. He was present at shoot-around this morning. That was according to Tom Osborne of the San Antonio Express News. Although De'Aaron Fox was present at shoot-around ahead of game one, and then he did not play. So that's going to be a big factor here in this game, Brad. Although, again, game one didn't necessarily hinder San Antonio much at all. So I'll ask you on OKC's point of view here just to start. Is this a must-win game for Oklahoma City? If they lose, would you give them any chance to win the series if it's 0-2 heading back to San Antonio? What do you think?
Hey, I'm going to go with Lloyd Christmas. Are you saying there's a chance from Dumb and Dumber? Yeah, there's still a chance. They're not completely eliminated, but... boy, the percentage chance of them coming back and winning it down 2-0 shrinks and rapidly. It's almost infinitesimal, that odds, that chance that they could come back and still take the sucker to represent the Western Conference there in the NBA Finals. I do feel this is really a must-win for them. Let's say, hypothetically, they go down 0-2, goes back to San Antonio. Even if they take one game, and they really need both, but if they only take one game, they're down 3-1. I know they're going to roar back. Maybe it gets to 6. I doubt it gets to 7. So, yeah, I mean, they're going to be way behind the 8-ball if they, unfortunately, cannot get victory tonight. I will say this, Pat. These two teams are very evenly matched based on some of the advanced data that is out there. At NBA.com, looking at the efficiency numbers, Oklahoma City in the entirety of the playoffs, numero dos, trailing only your beloved New York Knicks, and net efficiency at 14.4. For perspective's sake, the Knicks are number one at 18.9. That's how dominant the Knicks have really been, and that's including last night. And they shaved about 1.5 off their net efficiency rating with that performance, but they still got the dub. San Antonio, meanwhile, 14.0 is their net efficiency rating at number three. So the difference between OKC and the Spurs, a net efficiency rating in this NBA postseason is 0.4. That is it. That's how tightly matched these teams are on paper. But obviously the biggest deal, and I think you're going to harp on this as well, they got to go out there and come lay in the glass. They got owned on the boards in game number one. They were outrighted by, what, 21? 21? Yep. With Hartenstein and with Chet Holmgren only combining for 10 rebounds. They also combined for only 10 points. Those two dudes, in my opinion, are the biggest factors for OKC to even this series back up. If they are, you know, subpar, if they are lackluster, if they're only giving a C- effort, they're going to lose again. And you probably saw the meme that was trending on X on social media. after game number one. Maybe you didn't. It was Chet Holmgren, but it was McLovin's head from Superbad, and I thought it was rather appropriate.
Yes. Yes, that has become quite a very popular meme. When a player, athlete plays bad, we replace them with an actor or a celebrity that looks like, or we know for a fact, has zero athletic bone in their body. Yeah, Chet Holmgren's got to step up. I don't, as crazy as it may sound, I don't think this is a must-win game for Oklahoma City tonight. And by my standards, if they lose the game, I don't think the series is over if it's 0-2 heading back to San Antonio. And here's why. Both of these teams were both great at home. They were both pretty damn good on the road as well, right? I mean, you don't win 60-plus games without being great on the road. Oklahoma City, 34-7, 30-10 on the road. San Antonio, 32-8, 29-12 on the road. And their shooting splits weren't as drastically different as some other teams in the NBA, home versus away. And also, no disrespect to either of these fan bases. I know San Antonio's got the rabid fan base. They're a little corny. They're a little annoying. Dare I say losers, that they have like the whole like college like band, not college band, but like student section type setup in San Antonio. Kind of nerdy to me. But I don't know, man. It's kind of cringy to me. It's like, we get it. You like the team. Like, this isn't, and I like soccer. I love soccer. I like soccer, but like, it's not a soccer game. We don't need the beating of the drum and like the chants. Like, you're like, if you're at a soccer, we don't need that. You're not a soccer team. This isn't a soccer game. So I don't know. The Spurs fans have kind of annoyed me during this playoffs. And anytime I watch one of their games in the regular season, to hear their fan base, I don't even know what they call themselves. But either way, here's the point. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I don't think the home court advantage of the crowd is going to make that big of a difference. So if OKC goes down 0-2, I still think that they could win both games 3 and 4 in San Antonio. We've seen it happen before. Mm. It's not very common in the NBA. So not a must-win game for me, but everything you said about what they need to do is correct. How are they going to stop Wemby? Hartenstein's got to play way more minutes after 12 of them in game one, 12 minutes. He's got to play way more. Will Chet Holmgren step up and rise to the occasion, or we look like McLovin again? And basically, Wemby's dunking on him, talking smack to him, rubbing it in his face. And then also, will SGA step up and play like the newly minted back-to-back MVP, or is San Antonio going to have him in more fits with their zone defense and the relentless switching so that Wemby can be the roaming rim protector? I'm hoping Mark Daigneault comes correct tonight, because if he's just going to try to put Alex Caruso on Wemby again, it's going to be he's going to have another monster game. He's going to have another monster game. And that's probably the biggest question, Brad, that a lot of folks are wondering as this constant debate now roars on and churns on about Wemby and becoming the best in the league and the face of the league and how great can he be? And is he ready to take over? Is he the best player on the planet already? Can he deliver another monster performance tonight? And I'll just say this, because the stat line was ridiculous no matter how many overtimes they played. 41 points, 24 rebounds. But I just want to remind folks, he was only at 21 points at the end of regulation. So maybe expecting at least 25 out of Wemby tonight may be fool's gold. He had 20 points in the two overtimes combined, which is bananas on its own, but only 21 in regulation. So with that being said, if you're putting some shekels on this game tonight, Brad, where are you leading?
I got two plays for you. Play number one, I'm going to live in a land down under on the game total. It has come down from 219.5, as you already mentioned, to 216.5, and I still think it's too high. I think this game is going to be lucky to get in the low hundreds when it's all said and done. Of course, overtime is where unders go to die. So we're hoping we're not going to get another bonus session or two. Otherwise, I'm going to have a lot of egg on my face. But I think, this game will be won in regulation. And I'll, let you decide who that's going to be. Is it going to be the Spurs? Is it going to be OKC? I have a slight lean to San Antonio covering the 7.5. I think it's too many points. But I feel really confident the under is going to come through. And then I know we don't know the status yet of De'Aaron Fox. But even if he does play, I think Dylan Harper is going to play some meaningful and effective minutes. So for him to get 15 or more points, as of this morning, it was plus 220. Yeah, roll the shoulders and get seduced by the juice on that one. North of 2-1 odds. Utterly ridiculous, in my opinion. In game number one, he had 24-11 with Fox out of action, but he has gone for 15 or more points in three of his last four. I know in the regular season against OKC, he only averaged 9 points and 22.8 minutes played. But OKC is not nearly as stiff and stout defensively as what we saw in the regular season. They're only number six this NBA postseason. Defensive rating, giving up 1.089 points per possession. They're also giving up 106.6 points per game, which ranks as the seventh fewest allowed points per game in the postseason. So they haven't been locked down. They haven't been stifling or suffocating. I think Dylan Harper, the pride of Rutgers, is going to rise to the occasion and bring the noise like he used to show at the rack.
That's great. That line may have moved a little bit here in the last couple of hours. I think there's a lot of folks that are on Dylan Harper tonight, which rightfully so. So am I, Brad. So am I. I'm on Dylan Harper. And I know earlier today, the points plus rebounds was 16.5. That has climbed. That has climbed not only 2 points plus rebounds. It is heavily juiced to the over at our friends at BetMGM. And you know what? Call me a sucker. Call you and me suckers. Because I think the Rutgers rookie, like you said, is going to have a big game, whether or not De'Aaron Fox plays, because he just had way too much of an impact. I mean, are you kidding me with his final line in game? This is a 20-year-old rookie, folks. 20-year-old rookie in game one of the conference finals. 47 minutes in double overtime. 24 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists, 7 steals. Unbelievable. Crazy. How good he was. Crazy. And it got completely overshadowed by Wemby, and I don't blame it for happening. So, yeah, I think if De'Aaron Fox plays, Dylan Harper's coming off the bench, and if this game, you know, ends in regulation, he'll still probably play 25 minutes. If De'Aaron Fox doesn't play, Dylan Harper's going to play probably 35 minutes, and he's going to start. So I like Dylan Harper over 18.5 points plus rebounds. I'll lay the juice there because I think, like you said, the Rutgers rookie, RU rah-rah, is just he had way too big of an impact to not play meaningful minutes. That being said, Brad,
I like the Thunder.
I'm going down with my gut here. I like the Thunder to cover. I'm not saying it's going to be a blowout, and I know for a lot of people watching and listening to our show right now, they're probably saying, Pat, 8 points, for them to win by 8 points? They never even led by 8 points in game one. It is a lot. It's basketball, man. Make or miss league. Make or miss league. And I know the Spurs didn't shoot the three ball that well anyway in game one. I'm expecting adjustments. Maybe I'm a little bit of a conspiracy theorist and I'm expecting the refs to be on the Thunder's side more than they were in game one because they were definitely on San Antonio's side. They had 10 more free throw attempts. I think the Thunder win this one and probably win it by exactly 10 points. And we've got a 1-1 series going back to San Antonio. I like OKC. And if I'm wrong again, so be it.
Yeah, it's a little wavosy, but I appreciate it, my man. By the way, all those lines that we pulled from our friends there at BetMGM. So go to the site, check them out, check out some of the line movement. But again, I could not believe my eyes. I rubbed them two or three times, like has a coffee kicked in yet? Has a caffeine coursing through my veins? How is Dylan Harper to score 15 or more points plus 220? Take my money, BetMGM. Take it. And they gladly accepted it.
We'll take a quick break here. 310-840-4910. So, yeah, as a Knicks fan, I'm hoping for a long and arduous series. I hope the Thunder win and cover. But Brad and I both like Dylan Harper tonight to have another big game. All right, when we come back, we're going to go streaking. I'm the longest active streaker at 4. A lot of pressure on my shoulders. We'll see if we can deliver for you. 4 for 4 is our goal tonight when we come back. He's Brad Evans. I'm Pat Boyle. This is BetMGM Tonight at Westwood One Sports.